Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everyone with us tonight. Let's pull up a chair and let's study the word of Yahweh. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne in heaven, and we thank you, Father, for another week of life. We thank you for all the provisions you give us. We thank you for always being there for us. We thank you for your ruach and your guiding hand in our life. And we pray, Father, for that ruach to guide and lead as we study your word and as we draw closer to your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful great sacrifice that you made on sending your son to pay the penalty of our sins. And in the name of your son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. So while I don't know about you, but these weeks are flying by too fast. It seems now like, I know the Bible says, aren't there 12 hours in the day? But there's actually 24 hours in a day. 12 hours a day and 12 hours a night. But it seems like there is only 12 hours in a day, the way things are going. And wow, we're just a few weeks away from Passover. The next new moon that will be coming up at the end of the month will be the first day of the new biblical year, Aviv, and Passover will be the 14th day after that, on the night of the 13th going into the 14th. So tonight, Yahweh willing, we will get through the last chapter of Philippians, and I'll be stopping the Bible study. I'm not sure when. We'll definitely do one more week, Yahweh willing. You know, probably next week we'll be doing something on Passover, related to Passover one way or another. And I hope to also do a message to help people prepare. But, you know, as this time of the year comes around, I am so thankful to Yahweh of what he's done in my life. And I hope you feel the same way. You know, as human beings, I know when we're young, you know, the saying, too bad that youth is wasted on the young. And it really is true, because when you're young, you just don't realize how fast life goes. And I remember when I was a teen, you know, in my early 20s, and even 10 years, you would think, wow, 10 years seemed what I think now of like 50 years. You know, it seemed like such a long way in the future. But as time goes on, it just goes so fast, and we realize time is just a blip. Our life is just a blip, and all we're here for, this 60, 70, 80 years, if you're blessed to have it, is just a test to see if we can be faithful for eternity. And praise Yahweh that he opened up our minds to know what that is, to read his word and understand a time in the such near future where there'll be a real government on this earth that cares for its people, led by Yeshua and us being part of his cabinet. And there'll be no war, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no suffering, there'll be no dissatisfaction. Can you imagine that? In a world today where probably close to 80% of the people on this planet are unhappy to one degree or another, and you can't blame them. Can you imagine a time where 100% of the people will be totally happy with the world around them, their life, because of their relationship with Yahweh? So what a blessing that he's opened up our hearts and our minds to that. And Passover really helps us to humble us to understand that. So we'll get into that, Yahweh willing, to one degree or another next week. Right now, I'll go over a few articles. I'm not going to go over too much because, like I said, I definitely, Yahweh willing, would like to get chapter 4 done. A great book, Philippians. But let me go over a couple things, because this week, every week, there seems to be a lot going on in the news. This week, I really just want to focus on what's been happening with Israel, because there's a lot of things going on with Israel these days, including, for the first time in modern history, Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, getting rid of, you know, firing the head of the Shin Bet, the head of the Secret Service, which it's two separate parts of government. It would almost be like President Trump firing a Supreme Court judge, you know, something like that, which you just can't do. You know, it doesn't work that way. So there's a lot of problems going on with that. But I want to talk more of the military threats that are going on. We've seen that because the ceasefire fell apart, which we knew would one way or another, that Israel started bombing the Gaza Strip again, and again, hundreds of people and many children, unfortunately, have been killed. And which means that the Houthis in Yemen have also started attacking Israel again, and now America is attacking the Houthis. And one thing that really fears me in all of this, you know, and I'm not against President Trump. I was hoping that he would win. I hope for the sake of America and the world that he could do, you know, all the great things he says he's going to do or wants to do. Believe me, there's nobody that wants it to happen more than I do. But I believe from a political standpoint that President Trump is very naive. You know, he is a TV personality and a real estate, producer and a TV producer. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with world leaders, this is not The Apprentice. And it really, I think, not only myself, I think it's making a lot of people, especially world leaders and the stock markets, if you look at what's happening in the stock markets, worried because of the kind of rhetoric that President Trump has been bringing about. And, you know, it was bad enough when it started with, we're going to take over Canada. I mean, where did that come from? You know, Canada's going to be the 51st state and we're going to buy Greenland. But that's the way, you know, that it started in World War II. You know, just a country taking over a very small area of something else, and then it continued from there. But just the rhetoric, you know, that President Trump has been bringing to these countries, like the Houthis and the Palestinians, Hamas and these other ones, is we're going to wipe you off the map. We're going to... And I don't doubt that America can do it, but there's a reason why America hasn't done it to some of these places up until today, because once you start wiping people off the map, you open up for yourself to get wiped off the map. You know, you're opening up for, you know, the worst kind of wars you can imagine in the world, and diplomacy is always better, and it doesn't seem like things are going into that kind of area now, and you can't just force. It's not a game. Like I said, it's not The Apprentice. You can't force world leaders that you're going to do this, you're not going to do that, you better do this, and just degrade people. It doesn't work that way, especially in the world that you have today. So here's the answer of Iran, because President Trump now has given Iran 2 months, basically, and then has given Israel a green light to go there and bomb them and try to take care of their nuclear program. And it's not going to be what they think it's going to be. And this really, really can turn into a disaster very, very quickly. So it says, Iran Guards Chief vows decisive reprisal against any attacks after Trump warning. I'll just read a little bit of this. It says, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on Sunday threatened a decisive response to any attacks after U.S. President Donald Trump ordered a wave of airstrikes against Yemeni Houthi rebels and warned Iran to stop backing the group. On Saturday, Trump said the United States has launched decisive and powerful military action to end the Houthi threat to the Red Sea shipping and warned that Iran's support for the rebels must end immediately. A Houthi health official said the strikes had killed 31 people. Iranian Guards Chief Hossein Salami denounced Trump's threats in a televised speech on Sunday, adding that Iran will not wage war, but if anyone threatens, it will give appropriate, decisive, and conclusive responses. The commander called the Houthis the representative of the Yemenis, adding the group made its strategic and operational decisions independently. So let's see where this is going to go. But I, when I see Prime Minister Netanyahu together with President Trump, I see gasoline and I see wood. And what is going to be the match to light this thing? I do not have good feelings with some of the stuff that they're talking about. Here's another article. IDF strikes Syrian artillery systems near border. Damascus condemns Israeli aggression. So here's the big wild card that came up, right? We've known for a long time with Hamas and Israel what's going on. We know for a long time with Hezbollah, you know, in Israel what's going on. But Syria seemed to be pretty mellow and quiet because they were having civil war there a few years back and they really were not in a position to fight Israel. And Bashar Assad basically was staying under wraps and quiet. And then from nowhere, just a few weeks ago, what happens? they get overtaken by one of these military groups. And the leader of that group that now is the leader of Syria is ex-ISIS, who seems to have changed from what he says. And I don't believe him, but at least he's saying it. He's not looking for war with Israel. He's not looking for war with... He's just looking to get his country together. And maybe, you know, a lot of people say things when they're in the opposition, but then when they get in that place of power, sometimes they wise up because they realize if not, you know, they'll be the next Nasrallah, like from Lebanon, you know, from Hezbollah, if they don't. But whether he's telling you the truth or not, he did say that. He did say he's looking for peace in the region. He's not looking for instability. But since they've taken over, Israel has just been going into Syria, bombing things, taking over land. They've really, maybe they look at it because this guy just took over and they don't have the manpower to do it. But man, instead of really trying to maybe see if there can be some kind of new relationship with Syria, Israel has been going in another direction and bombing, and who knows where that's going to lead to now. But one thing I do want to say with that is this group did not just take over from outside of a vacuum. But the reason why they were able to take over from Assad is this group is being backed by Turkey. The same way that Assad was backed by Iran, this new group there now with this new leader that's, like I said, was an ISIS before, is backed by Turkey. So Turkey and Erdogan is not a friend of Israel, and they are, that will be a very, very, really hard war if Israel does have to go against Turkey, a war they may not be able to win. So they, I think they need to be careful because with Syria being right on the border with Turkey, it's not like Hamas down there in the Gaza Strip where Turkey can condemn it, but at the same rate, they're not really going to get involved militarily because it's not in their interest, you know, national interest to do so, where if Israel is taking over Syria, it is certainly in their national interest to stay involved. So that is something to watch in the week's end. Like I said, prophetically, I do believe that we could prove, we have articles on this, that Turkey is end time Esau from Scripture. And the Temans, you know, the Ottoman Empire is from Teman, the son, one of the sons of Esau. So it's something to look for. And prophetically, I've said for a long, long time, I do believe that it's not the EU you really have to worry about, the United Europe, but Turkey, which may, you know, be part of that. They may make an alliance with the European Union, but it's more the Middle East nations like Turkey that you got to watch out for, and Iran, of course, with Russia and China, the kings of the East that will be coming from there. So this one says, Turkey's Erdogan calls Israel a terror state that feeds on blood. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan brands Israel a terror state following the most intense Israeli airstrike in Gaza since a fragile ceasefire took place last month. The Zionist regime has once again shown that it is a terror state that feeds on the blood, lives, and tears of the innocent with its brutal attacks on Gaza last night, Erdogan says at a Ramadan fast-breaking dinner. Yeah, don't forget, it's Ramadan, and a lot of strange things happen during Ramadan because what the Muslims do is they fast all day long and then they gorge themselves at night, and it don't work too good, you know, when you do that. When you're fasting, like fasting and starving from like 4 o'clock in the morning, and then after the sun goes down, they're just gorging themselves until they're vomiting and throwing up. It's a very strange, odd tradition, but so are so many other things in Islam. So a lot of odd things do happen during Ramadan, and let's see what happens in the next 10 days or so until the Ramadan is over. And let me go in here, another article. It says, for Israel, everything will not be okay. And this is written by David Horowitz, the head man from the Times of Israel. So it's not being written by an Arab or something else, but being written, saying the things that are going on. Summarily fired by Netanyahu, the head of the Shin Bet, is also falsely accused of knowing hours ahead of time that Hamas was going to invade and choosing not to act. So this is why it's very interesting now, is they're starting to investigate and see how on earth did October 7th come about. And now, actually, it was Prime Minister Netanyahu that came out and admitted that the Secret Service knew of it and did nothing to stop it. So we're going to see where that goes in the coming weeks here. But that's why the article says for Israel, everything will not be okay. Some people believe Israel is literally on the verge of a civil war. I don't know if it's going that far. It was pretty close to that before this war started with Hamas and Hezbollah. We'll see what happens now, but they're not in a good spot. You know, that if you look where they started from in 1948 when they became a nation again, and the blessing that they had on Yahweh, from Yahweh, and the potential that they had there after 2,520 years of being in captivity, and what have they done now in the last, 77 years? They've only wanted to be like the nations around them. They want to be like Babylon. They want to, you know, they're not Torah observant. You know, I told you several years back, the reason why we stopped keeping the feast there is they stopped keeping Shabbat. They stopped the Shabbat laws and so many things that it's just really sad that could have been there that aren't. But again, it's not going to happen without Yahweh, and it's certainly not going to happen without Yeshua. So it's really, really interesting to see that really as a nation, if you think about it, Israel is probably the only nation on earth who 100% fully rejects Yeshua as a nation. Because even Arab nations, Muslim nations, who don't believe Yeshua is the Messiah, they actually do believe he's a prophet. So at least it's something. You know, they're not against him. So this is really interesting where things will go. But we do know that Yahweh has not forsaken his people, you know, in the Jewish state, and Israel being a nation again is part of prophecy, and Yahweh will help them, but they are going through the time of Jacob's trouble, and there is going to be a lot of more bad happening than good in the near future. So I think that's all I'm going to go into now for those articles, and I would like to get into here chapter 4. So again, I'm not going to really rehash too much here, except the fact, like I said, the Apostle Paul is writing a very intimate letter to the Philippians. These are people that helped him in the past, and he's thanking them for that and telling them about staying unified and staying together as a people, following judicial order and following one doctrine. And now he's gonna kind of sum it all up in this last chapter here. And he says, so, chapter 4 and verse 1, so as my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. So now he's ending up the last chapter here, calling them dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. My joy and crown, literally that means a badge of honor. You know that the Philippians are his crown. There is joy in his crown. In this manner, so stand firm in our master, my beloved. Wow. Really, really deep movement there. Philippians 2, 2 and 3. He says, complete my joy by being in one accord, one love, one soul, one mind, doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility, let each regard his neighbor as better than himself. So this is what he's saying to them. You know, these are his joy and his badge of honor. And once that he went there and personally helped bring to faith, like we were saying in Acts 16, which I'm going to read a little bit later when we get to another verse connected to that. And then he says, I entreat Eutychus and I entreat Syntyche to mine the same thing in our master. And I also ask you, true yoke fellow, help those women who struggled along with me with Clement in the good news, and the rest of my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Wow, so he's saying, you know, no doubt about these people, what they're doing and what they're there. He's saying to help the women who struggled with him. Who are these women he's talking about? That's back to Acts 16. I'll read here, Acts 16 and verse 12. Acts 16, verse 12. He says, and from there into Philippi, which is the first city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were in the city staying some days. So this is, there he is in Philippi, right? It says, and we went out on the day of the Sabbath without the gate of the city to the bank of the river, because there was seen a house of prayer. In sitting down, we spoke with the women who came together there. So these are the women he's telling them to care for. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one reverencing Elohim, listened, whose heart the master opened thoroughly to pay attention to the things being spoken by Shaul, Paul. And as she and her household were baptized, she entreated Paul, saying, "If you have judged me to be believing in the master, entering into my house remain." And she strongly urged us. And it was while we went to the house in prayer, a certain damsel met us in whom was a spirit of divination, and she had produced her overlords much gain by her divination. And then another, Paul cast the demon out of that woman, and she wound up coming to faith. So this is where he's saying in verse 3 again of Philippians 4, "And I ask you, true yoke fellow, help those women who struggled along with me and with Clement in the good news and the rest of my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice." If you go to Philippians 3 and verse 1, we see the same thing. "To the rest, my brothers, rejoice in our master. To write the same things to you is not tiresome to me, but is safe for you." Rejoice. So that he's saying, "You're rejoicing, Yahweh's always." Again, I say rejoice. That he's sharing with them because of their faithfulness and because of the fruit they're bearing and because of the solid congregation they are, that they should be rejoicing before Yahweh. Don't let the things of this world get us down, because there's so much to rejoice in, right? We're rejoicing in Yahweh, in his word, in his kingdom, in our future. So again, this is what we need to keep our focus on, and this is what we need to keep us strong as for the days that we're going into. Verse 5. "Let your humility," you know, humility or meekness, "be known to all men. Our master is at hand." So it's not a thing about being boastful or prideful or arrogant for the truth we know, but knowing we only know it because of Yahweh's mercy and his love. He could have just as easily given any gift that we have to somebody else and, you know, not even given us his truth. So he says, "Let your humility, your meekness be known to all men. Our master is at hand." Titus 3 and verse 2. Titus 3 and verse 2 says, "To speak evil of no one, not quarrelsome, but forbearing, having displayed all meekness to all men." Right? So we don't want to be speaking bad of anyone. We don't want to be quarrelsome or forbearing, but displaying meekness to all men. Because that's the spirit that Yeshua showed. He didn't give back reviling for reviling, but yet simply said, you know, for Yahweh, just put all things in Yahweh's hand. Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim." Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to Elohim. Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. "And let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, for that goal you are called in one body, and be thankful to Messiah. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and exhorting yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Elohim. In everything, whatever you do in word or in work, do all things in the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him." Right? So everything that we do, in word or in work, all things do in the name of our Master Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him. Wow. You know, that's what's awesome with the Brit Hadashah. Not to say the Tanakh isn't awesome. The Tanakh is very awesome. But when you're studying the Tanakh, you're really, like, you're delving into words that are there and underlining meanings and finding out the culture and finding out more about the Bible. But in the Brit Hadashah, you're really getting into the spiritual aspect with a lot of things. So it's all, I love going over these things, especially Paul's epistles. There's so much meat in here for our life today. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Says, giving thanks at all times for all things to Yahweh the Father in the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So this is where we give thanks to Yahweh always for all things. The good, the bad, the struggles, the challenges in our life. And I remember years ago, you know, when we were first leaving America and we were with a group and we didn't know what was going to happen. Things were rough. At that time, money was not so good. And there were some people there that actually were didn't want to share their food because of that. And I remember saying, you know, that as long as we have food, anybody, we come together and we share in all things. And when the food is gone, we fast together. So we're one body, you know, we're one body. And during the good times and during the bad times, you know, we stick together, and like it says, where one is glorified, we all take happiness in that, and where one suffers, you know, we suffer with them. So we don't want to forget this, right? Verse 7 of Philippians 4, and the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. The peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, right? No worldly knowledge is able to equal the peace of Yahweh. If you look in life, right, you see people out there that are so smart. They are so smart. They can have master's degrees and doctor's degrees. And, you know, they know all of these things about physics and quantum physics and all this other stuff. And yet the peace of Yahweh surpasses all that. Many of these people don't have peace in their life. They don't have that peace that at night they can go to bed with a big smile on their face because of their relationship with Yahweh. So the peace of Yahweh surpasses all knowledge, all understanding, and will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. For the rest, brothers, rejoice! Perfect yourselves. Encourage yourself. Mind the same thing. Be at peace. And the Elohim of love and of peace will be with you. Right? Like he says, rejoice, rejoice, perfect yourself, encourage yourself, mind the same thing, be at peace, and the Elohim of love and of peace will be with you. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. So like I say, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And you know what? Right now, all of us, myself or anybody that's out there hearing this, whether it's tonight when I'm doing the study or whether it's online and it could be years from now, every single person has something good and something bad in their life. We all do. That's why it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So maybe you just got a raise at work, and maybe a close friend or family member just died. You know, maybe you just got a new apartment that's cheaper than your old apartment, and maybe your car just, you know, fell apart. So every single one of us has good and bad going on in our life. Nobody, there's nobody on this earth that has only good going on. And very few people only have bad. There are people that focus only on the bad. But very few people could say 100% bad things, you know, the Job syndrome. But you have a choice now. You could focus on the blessings and the good things and rejoice and be thanking Yahweh for all those good things in your life, or you could be focusing on the bad things that are going on. And that's why I love in the morning waking up and not only doing study, but doing prayer, and just in prayer, sometimes just thanking Yahweh for all the things that he gives. And that's what I want my focus to be on. Not, you know, the things that I might would have liked in my life that I don't have, but to be thankful for all the things I do have, and particularly in my relationship with Yahweh, because as long as that's good, there ain't anything in my life that can be that bad. And that's what we have to focus on, that Yahweh has given us that truth. He's given us our sins to be forgiven. And boy, especially this time of the year with Passover coming up. Look at all the billions of people out there that don't have that. That don't have forgiveness, that don't have eternal life dwelling in them. And they don't know up, they don't know down. And a lot of these people are decent people. And they're just waiting for somebody like us to come and share with them. This is the road, walk ye in it. I've been saying, make this, you know, make the commitment to Yahweh to make this the biggest spiritual year in your life on a personal level and on a ministry level. And I'm telling you, if you do, your life will not be the same at the end of it, because we don't know what's coming next. But I can tell you something, there are going to be tough times coming. There is going to be war coming somewhere down the line. It might be sooner than you think. And there are going to be very bad financial times coming. And that may be sooner than you think. So we need to take advantage of the open door that Yahweh's given us as a congregation and go out there and bear the fruit and focus on our relationship with Him. So do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. Yeah? Talk to your daddy in heaven. He wants to hear what you want to share with him. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any deeds of praise, not just any praise, but in the Aramaic it literally says, if there are any deeds of praise, think on these things. Wow. And the note here says, if believers could focus on this one verse daily, what a difference it would make in the body of Messiah, right? Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever lovely, whatever a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any deeds of praise, think on these things. Our focus is everything in our life, because whatever you focus on is going to be most real to you. And that's what it has to be. Like I said, if there's a knock on the door, is your focus, uh-oh, somebody may be coming to rob me, someone may be coming to try to sell me, you know, a new subscription. Or is it, wow, there's somebody coming to that door. It could be a friend. It could be someone in need. It could be someone that needs to hear the good word. What is your focus? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, right? So it is. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever of good report, if there's any virtue or any deeds of praise, think on these things. Prove all things, hold fast, hold all the good things, and let the other things go. Let anything that is jealousy or envy or anger or disappointment, whatever these spirits are that's not of Yahweh, let them go. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things and the Elohim of peace will be with you. You got to practice them, right? You got to practice them. And this is what the school is all about. Yahweh has given me a great gift that actually he trained me even before I became a believer in something called personal training, how to help people, how to help them change their mindset, and how to help them to condition their mind to get on the right track. And this is basically what we do. And the Bible talks about it. We see right here, practice these things, but it doesn't really, you really got to go around here a little, there a little, like it says, to really find the scriptures that talk about it and understand it. But you got to also study how the human mind is, how Yahweh made our bodies and made our human minds to work. But you have to practice these things. You have to condition yourself and you have to practice these things. And if you do, I can guarantee you 100% you'll change. 100%, because I've been doing it for 20-something years, like I said, at the Bible school. And after 20-something years, last year was actually probably the best school we had. The most productive people came there with the right focus. And everybody left a different person. I hope that people that were there, I try to stay in touch with them, that they're continuing on their road. But it's possible. You just have to know how to do it. So whatever things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things and the Elohim of peace will be with you. 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, be imitators of me as I am also of Messiah. Right? Be imitators of me, and that's what I say. Yes, I want you to follow my instructions. Yes, I want you to imitate me as I follow Messiah. I don't want you to imitate me if I'm not following Messiah. Same as the Apostle Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. says, and you became imitators of us and of our master, welcoming the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You became imitators of us. So that's the key. Mirror and matching, right? Our mind is made that way. Our mind is made, we are creatures of habit, but you want to make sure that you're following the right and practicing the right things from the right people. Or you're going to have to, you know, reprogram yourself, scratch all those bad things out, and start over again. That's another thing we teach at the Bible school. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in Elohim greatly that you have continued to care for me, just as you have always cared, even though you yourselves have not had enough. So now the Apostle Paul is telling them, even though they were not very rich, didn't have a lot, they were caring for him. He says, not that I speak as to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. Wow, isn't that great? He has learned to be content in whatever state he is in. Have we learned that, right? Sometimes we're going to be sick. Sometimes we're going to be healthy. Sometimes we're going to be, like I said, in a situation where we may financially be down. Sometimes we may have more financially. Sometimes we're going to be in a situation where we have trials. Sometimes we're going to be in a situation where we're overcoming. So he says, not that I speak as to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. 2 Corinthians 6, let's see what he's talking about. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. He says, but in all things, let us show ourselves as servants of Elohim in much patience, in afflictions, in emergencies, in difficulties, in stripes, imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in vigils, in fasting. So he went through a lot of things that we probably wouldn't even want to think of going through. In pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Ruach HaKodesh, in sincere love. By the word of truth and the power of Elohim, through the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, through glory and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet look we live, as chastened and yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we told you everything. We have told you everything and our heart is relieved. You are not restrained in us, but you are urged in your own affections. I speak as to my children. Render me my reward, which is in you. Increase your love toward me. Wow. So can you imagine how he says he's been through everything, the good and the bad, the glory and the dishonor, the evil report and the good report, unknown and yet well known, dying and yet they live, chastised and yet not put to death, sorrowful and yet rejoicing. You know, as poor and yet enriching many, having nothing but possessing all things. Wow. You talk about a frame of mind, right? Whatever you focus on is most real to you. So here's somebody that maybe at a time where they had virtually nothing, no food to eat or whatever, and yet, like he said, they have eternal life in them. They possessed all things. What an awesome. I would love just to have one class that the Apostle Paul could come to teach the students about this from somebody that went through it firsthand, you know, because he really knows neuroassociations. He really knows how to change your state and to keep your focus correctly. But what an amazing scripture that is in Corinthians 6. Back to Philippians 4 and verse 12 now. He says, I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be rich. I've gone through many things and experienced many things, both to be filled and to hunger, both to have plenty and to be in need. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 9. He says, for I think that Elohim set us out last, the apostles, as appointed to death because we became a spectacle to the world, even to angels and to men. We are fools for the sake of Messiah, but you are wise in Messiah. We are weak, but you are strong. You are praised and we are despised. Even until this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are mistreated and have no permanent home. And labor, working with our own hands, being cursed, we bless, persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have become as filth of the world, the scum wiped off by all until now.
Wow.
Wow. Boy, talk about what he's saying, right? So when he's saying, I know what it is to be poor and I know what it is to be rich, I've gone through many things and experienced many things, both to be filled and hungry, both to have plenty and to be in need. He isn't kidding. You know, he was shipwrecked. You know, he went through scourgings, lashes, all kinds of things. And look at verse 13. I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. I can do all things, right? So, wow. Here he's saying, not just that he believes all things and hopes all things, which love does, right? The love chapter, love believes all things, hopes all things. But he can do all things, right? Because true faith brings a deed. Without a deed, there's no true faith. And we're living in the Laodicean era. We're living in the era where people just sit around a table and talk about it. And that's good sometimes. You know, everything's got to start somewhere. So how do you get the idea without discussing it, right? And brainstorming. But then there's a point where you got to get out of that chair and get outside and get a deed. There's got to be some deed. And you need to think to yourself, you know, in your calling. Everybody that's listening to this, maybe you've been called for a year. Maybe you've been called for 5 years. Maybe you've been called for 40 years. But every single person here that's listening to this has been called. What kind of fruit do you have? What kind of deed have you done? If you had to write down all the deeds now that you're going to get eternal life for, that Yahweh is going to give you reward for, let's say, not that you get eternal life because that's his gift, but you're going to be rewarded in the kingdom for it. What are your deeds? John 15, verse 4 and 5. John 15, Yochanan 15, 4 and 5. It says, remain in me and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, the man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me, you're not able to do anything, right? So like you said, I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. And how can people leave Yeshua? We've had it. We even had a few elders that were in the congregation that literally, and I believe that they never actually believed anyway, you know, that they were only there maybe for money or power or whatever. But how can you believe in Yeshua and then leave, when he's the one giving you all the strength to do anything in your life? Without him, we have nothing. We're absolutely a burned out hunk of junk. You know, look at Job. Look what Job said. You know, we're ashes. We're nothing without him. But with him, it's not only belief in him, it's doing, it's the deeds. I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. He gives us the strength to do all these things. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5. He says, and we have such confidence through Messiah through toward Elohim. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to reason out anything as to being out of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Elohim, right? So when I was younger and I was young and, you know, I was a proud young man that had a lot of things to learn in life that Yahweh showed me, and praise him for his mercy in that, of doing that. But I used to think that I had all this ability and I can do anything. And now I realize the same thing. Yes, I do have a lot of ability and I can do anything through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. That's the big difference. Through myself, I can't do anything. But through Messiah, the one giving me the strength, you better believe I can do all things. You better believe that there's nothing that I fear, that there's nothing that I don't believe I can do through him. Because he's the one doing it. He's the one giving the strength. And I believe that 1,000% in my life. And that's why I don't have any fear to try anything. Because if he wants it done, it's going to get done. If he doesn't, then I'm just going to learn from it. All things work to the good, right? Romans 8, 28. But I learned not to put any faith in myself, but to put the faith in him. And when I doubt myself, I'm doubting him if he's the one doing it through me. So that's where it's got to come. And, you know, pride's got to go by the wayside. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter if you fail. You know, the righteous man falls seven times and gets himself up, because it's not about you. It's about what the Messiah is trying to do in you and through you and to you. That's what it's about. So, yes, I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me the strength. Praise Yahweh for that. And in the Aramaic, it literally says, I find strength and empowerment for everything, you know, through the Messiah. I find strength and empowerment for everything. Verse 14. He says, yet you did well in sharing my difficulties. And you know too, Philippians, that in the beginning of the good news, when I went out from Macedonia, not one congregation shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. So this is why Paul is very, very intimately close with these people at a time where everybody forsook him, you know, and he didn't have help. The Philippians were. Philippians 1 and verse 7. Remember when we went over chapter 1, it seemed like a long time ago, just a few weeks. He says, as it is righteous for me to think this of you, all because you have me in your heart, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the good news, you are all sharers of the grace with me. So, you know, praise Yahweh, I've never had to go through to prison for the good news. But the Apostle Paul did more than once. And wow, what he appreciated the support and the loyalty that these people showed him. And that's what Yahweh's looking for. He's looking to see our loyalty. Because you know what? You could be the greatest guitar player, the greatest violin player, the greatest piano player in the world, and that don't mean nothing, because Yahweh can give anybody that. Yahweh in a second can give somebody how to play that. And believe me, cherubs, they can play a lot better than a human being could. But Yahweh can't give us loyalty. That's something that is a choice. That's something we have to choose. And in the end of the day, everyone has loyalty. It's just, what is your loyalty to? Some people's loyalty is to nothing but themselves. That is their loyalty. Just selfish, prideful, whatever works best for them. So is our loyalty to Yahweh, or is our loyalty to Satan? And that's what we have to decide in this life. And the decision from that is going to decide where you will be for eternity, whether you'll just cease to exist or whether you will be in the kingdom for eternity. So he says, you did well in sharing my difficulties, and you know me too. Philippians said, in the beginning of the good news, when I went out from Macedonia, not one congregation shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Because even at Thessalonica, you sent more than once to meet my needs. 2 Corinthians 12 in verse 11. He says, behold, I am foolish to boast, but you have compelled me, for you ought to have testified concerning me. For in no way am I less than those apostles who are highly honored, even though I am nothing. Truly, the miracles which the apostles have worked out, I have worked out among you in all patience, in miraculous signs and wonders, and by works of power. For what did you lack that the rest of the congregations have, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this fault. Behold, I am ready to come to you a third time, and I will not burden you, for I do not seek your things, but you. For the children ought not to lay treasure up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I will most gladly pay my expenses and even give myself for the sake of your souls, though the more I love you, the less you love me. So you see, the Corinthians, you know, there was some problems there and some friction that changed later with the Apostle Paul, as we see. But in the beginning, like he said, am I going to come in love, or am I going to come with a rod, you know, in his authority? Because there were some grave sins that were going on there. That's not the case with the Philippians. Because with the Philippians, like I said, he's over here saying that they met his needs more than once without him even asking and helping. In verse 17, he says, I do not say this because I seek a gift, but I seek the fruits of the good news multiplying to you. So he's not looking for gifts or money or whatever. He's looking for the fruit that they're going to bear by that. Because, you know, Romans 10, blessed are the feet bringing the good news of peace. And the person that gives a cup of cold water to you in the name of Yeshua, his reward will not be taken from him. So it is a blessing. And I know for myself that as I'm doing the work of Yahweh, particularly when I'm on my travels, anybody, whether it's a hotel, whether it's a taxi driver, whether it's just somebody on the street, in a coffee shop, anybody that blesses me, I ask Yahweh for a blessing on them. Because like it says, even if they give you a cup of cold water, they're not going to lose their reward. So they might not even understand that they're blessing you and what, you know, because of what you're doing. But the fact that they're giving you that blessing will not be taken away from them. So like you said, I don't say this because I seek a gift, but I seek the fruits of the good news multiplying to you. But I have all things and more than enough. I have been filled, receiving from Epaphroditus the things from you, and it was welcomed as a fragrant perfume, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to Elohim. So he's saying their gift that they gave him was like a sacrifice from the priesthood. And Epaphroditus, if we go back chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, remember we talked about him before. He was like their ambassador, you know, maybe even an apostle that was from that area in Philippi. It says, but I thought it needful to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and my fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister of my need, ambassador. So he longed to see you all and was depressed because he knew you had heard that he was sick. So he was sick almost to death. He got better. And then Paul mentions here again that they sent a gift by him. And it was like this sacrifice, sweet-smelling sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. He says, but remember this, the one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one sowing generously will also reap generously. Each one as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or out of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And that's what the Philippians were. They were giving from their heart because they loved the Apostle Paul and they believed in what he was doing. And Elohim is able to make all grace to abound toward you, that in everything, always having all self-sufficiency, you may abound to every good work. Even as it has been written, he has distributed liberally. He has given to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. Now he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for eating, may he supply and multiply your seed and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In everything, you being enriched to all sincerity, which works out thanksgiving to Yahweh through us. Because the ministry of this service is not only making up the things lacking of the saints, but also multiplying through many thanksgiving to Yahweh. Through the proof of this charitable service, they glorifying Yahweh by your freely expressed submission to the good news of Messiah. And through your generosity, you have become partakers with them and with all men. And they offer prayer on your behalf with greater love because of the overflowing grace of Elohim, which is on you. So, you know, I've had people through the years sometimes say, oh, I'm sorry, Elder Don, you know, I don't have any, you know, financial funds to give, but, you know, I only have prayers. And I'm saying, don't ever say that. The prayers mean way more than the financial. You know, face it, you need money to do certain things, but prayer is what's powerful. When Yahweh's people are all praying together, and I can tell you, we've had some fasts, you know, over the last 1-2 years, and every single time we fast as a congregation, I get emails from brethren and from elders alike of the miracles that have happened and the healings that happen when we're all unified and praying together. So never say, I can only do prayers. Because that's not only. Say, I can pray for you. Our prayers are powerful. Because we are the only people. We're the children of Yahweh. And we go right to his throne. And our Father listens to us. And he hears us. So like he says, their prayers and their gift was like a fragrant perfume, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to Elohim. Verse 19, and my Elohim will fill your every need according to his riches and glory in Yeshua Messiah. Now to Yahweh our Father be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Now to Yahweh our Father be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 36. We see Paul uses this terminology a lot. 1 Corinthians 11, 36. I must have the wrong book here. Romans 11:36. I'm sorry. Romans 11:36. He says, because of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. To him be the glory in his congregation in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let it be. Amen is not a pagan name. That is ridiculous. It comes from the Hebrew word for prayer. Let it be. And Galatians 1 and verse 5. Galatians 1 and verse 5. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's all over your Bible because it's saying, you know, in faith we're saying let it be. In faith we're saying let it happen, right? And my Elohim will fill your every need according to his riches and glory, Messiah Yeshua. Now to Yahweh our Father be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Messiah Yeshua. The brothers with me greet you. So we see this again of Paul sending greetings, Romans 16:16. In many letters, he talks about the different brethren that are with him and all the ones greeting. It's very important, the greetings to each other. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The congregation of Messiah greet you. And that was a way, men with men, women with women, that you would kiss on both cheeks. We see this in Europe in different places. And even in the Middle East today, you still see this custom in some areas. And verse 21 and 22. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sostipater, my kinsmen, greet you. Hi, Tertullius, the one writing the epistle, greet you. And Hermaphroditus, he's writing it for the Apostle Paul. He's just the secretary. He's not the one actually thinking and telling the words. He's just writing it for Paul. So greet every saint, Messiah Yeshua, the brothers with me, greet you. All the saints, the Hadashah, right? The set apart ones greet you. Most of all, those of Caesar's house. He mentions again, Philippians 1:13, remember? Philippians 1:13. He says, and the reason for my imprisonment has been clearly revealed by Messiah to all Caesar's court and to all men. So he had people in Caesar's house that were coming to faith and protecting him. And the last scripture here, the grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with all of you. The grace, the chen, the grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. Romans 16:20. Romans 16:20. And the Elohim of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Surely the grace of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you. Amen. There's the word again. And 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The peace of our Master Yeshua Messiah and the love of Elohim and the fellowship of the Ruach HaKodesh be with you all. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Master Messiah be with you all. And that's the way with many of his letters he leaves it. And wow. So what a great letter. I can only imagine how the Philippians must have felt. Remember, in that day, you did not have email and all this stuff by computer that you could send electronically. And they're always coming out with something new. Every time I talk to someone, do you have spider? Do you have viper? Do you have, you know, all these crazy, wacky things that I'm like, I hope not. You know, nope. All these things that sound like snakes and evil stuff, but I don't want any of it. But what I do want is, I want Paul's letters. And that's why I still love writing letters to people and writing letters to brethren and sending them out and, you know, writing them. Sometimes I do type them, but, you know, sign them with my penmanship because my handwriting is not very good. My mother used to always say I should be a doctor because how bad my handwriting is. But at least I write the letters with my hand. Or I type them with my hand and I sign them with my signature. So I can really relate to the Apostle Paul And I love these letters. I think there's so much for us to learn. And I pray that this has been beneficial for you. And like I said, as we're going in sermons, you know, we take a scripture here, a scripture there, but to go through the whole letter as what it is, a letter written to these people and going into what's behind it and the things he did and what are they feeling, I find it really, really inspiring and helping me to understand both sides, helping me to understand the Philippians better and helping me to understand the Apostle Paul better. So I pray that everybody has a blessed Shabbat. And until next week, Yahweh willing, Shabbat Shalom.